The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on AFR Talk.
Have you ever thought to yourself, I wish God could really understand what I'm going through? I really wish the Lord could understand what I'm feeling. Well, the good news is God does understand, because Jesus, according to the Word of God, Jesus is that high priest who went through everything we had to be subjected to, yet without sin. And we're going to talk about that on today's edition of Exploring the Word. On this show, Hebrews chapter 5 will be our topic today. My name is Alex McFarland, and with me, I'm very honored to have with me Jim Stanley. Bert Harper is traveling today, but Jim Stanley is a frequent collaborator in this show, and it's great to have him on. So welcome to the Monday edition of Exploring the Word, my brother.
Well, thank you, Alex. That's very kind of you. I have to say that evidently you're easily honored.
Listen.
I count it a privilege to sit in for Bert or you, either way. And so it's just good to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. And folks, you know what? I've had a great day. I just literally minutes ago walked out of a television studio where I was filming with Ed Vitagliano, and I heard about some of the great things going on in the Journal and on the program Today's Issues. And then, you know, Ed wrote a piece for the AFA Journal about the overthrow of our culture by liberalism and progressivism, and it was very interesting. But I was thinking about coming over here. I was going to be on the radio with Jim Stanley, and Ed mentioned on our TV interview, Ed mentioned the 200 radio stations that make up the American Family Radio Network. And folks, you need to know that radio like that doesn't just happen. And all the programming that you enjoy and all the great content that touches millions of lives every day, it's a team effort, of course, but Jim Stanley is the man that, his strong shoulders hold a lot of that up. And so, Jim, for those that may not know, tell a little bit about all that you do.
Well, I'm simply responsible for the radio department. The leadership here at AFR has entrusted me to do that, and I've been doing this the last few years. And so it's one of those things. I started with AFR probably about 17 years ago, and then I kind of did different things. I simply did what was asked of me at any particular time, and now I am doing what's asked of me still. So, it's one thing. One moment I'm a national radio host. The next moment I am a garbage guy. So, you know, it all equals out.
Brother, that's ministry, isn't it?
Absolutely. And you know, that's true. We have Share-a-thon coming up, and folks, if this ministry has made a difference in your life, we would be grateful if you would share your story with us. And you can do that simply by calling 877-876-8893. Mm-hmm. That's 877-876-8893. And share your story about how God has used AFR in your life. And Alex, the reason I mentioned Share-a-thon is, honest to goodness, probably about 3 or 4 years ago, we were in, and I was on the air for Share-a-thon, and then right after I got off the air, I literally went out and started picking up and collecting garbage for the evening, because we were just about to put the wraps on one night. And so one of the folks came up to me, and they were like, weren't you just on the radio? And that's what I told them. It takes just that long to go from radio host to garbage man.
Exactly. And you know what? Speaking of people whose lives have been changed by the radio work of American Family Association, that's me. Because, you know, 6-7 years ago when Jim Stanley approached me about being the co-host of Exploring the Word, you know, I had some radio experience. And when I had worked for Dr. Dobson, I'd been on Focus on the Family quite a few times and had some experience. But I was pretty green. And, you know, I don't feel like I'm very much today, but 7 years ago, I was really a beginner. And, Jim, I just, the doors that have been opened and the people that have come forward to be saved, the exponential growth of my ability as an evangelist and the really thousands and thousands of lives that have been touched by the gospel, that door opened when something called American Family Radio came into my life. And just me alone, I'm just one little, you know, one little name on the roster. You know, I think about all that God has brought into my life and done through my life thanks to the existence of this radio network. And so we give God the praise. And folks, it is worthy of your support. I travel and speak. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've been in several states on behalf of the show, Virginia and Tennessee and Colorado. And everywhere I go, I meet people who have either come to the Lord or come back to the Lord through AFR. And so, Shirathon, is it 18, 19, 20? Is that when it is, Jim?
Yes, sir, it is.
18, 19, 20. Now, are we going to have folks come to Tupelo like they often do?
We will. We'll have some volunteers come in, and then we will also have we'll have some guest hosts come in as well and help us out during that time. And so, folks, it really is a great time. And if you've never had the chance to help with Shirathon, we do have some requirements. You have to have participation in your local church. You have, because we want to know. We are very careful about who we allow to talk to the listeners, because if someone asks for prayer, that's one of the things that our volunteers do, is they immediately will pray with that person. And so we are careful about that. We want to make sure that you're in good standing at your church and that the pastor would give you a good recommendation and some things like that. So it's not a closed society by any means of the word. Don't misunderstand that. But we'll ask for a couple of references because, again, we're very careful of our listeners. And, you know, Alex has been here during Shirathon, and he's been on the phone, and he can tell you that's a blessing. And Alex is taking time to pray with folks. And it's just one of those things that when someone asks you to pray with them, it really is a privilege to get to share in their walk at that particular moment.
Well, it really is. And folks, if you've got your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 5. You know, we concluded last week, Friday, and we were in Hebrews chapter 4. And very famously, Hebrews 4:15 says of Jesus, and just think about the care, the compassion that our Lord has for you, dear friend. You know, whoever you are, God knows your name, and He cares about where you are in life. Hebrews 4:15 says, we do not have a high priest who's unable to be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. In other words, whatever you're going through, you can legitimately say, Jesus understands. And you say, yeah, but Alex, this happened. I was betrayed by somebody. I was deeply hurt. I'm worried. I'm fearful. I feel bad about something that's happened. Well, Christ understands, and He is able to do something about it. Now, Jim, let me read a little bit from Hebrews 5, and let's discuss this. Okay? It says, beginning in verse 1, every high priest is selected from among the people and is appointed to represent the people in matters related to God, to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. He is able to deal gently with those who are ignorant and who are going astray, since He Himself is subject to weakness. This is why He has to offer sacrifices for His own sins as well as the sins of the people. And no one takes this honor on himself, but he receives it when called by God, just as Aaron was. So here's the thing. Remember, the argument of Hebrews, what it's saying is Jesus is better than all of the human representatives that you know, Moses and Abraham. Jesus is the Son of God. But Jim, I think this is just a very striking point. A priest, even though he might go to God on behalf of the people, but he's a sinner who needs a Savior too.
Right.
Jesus, though, the mediator between God and humanity, Jesus, the Redeemer, the Reconciler, He's the perfect, sinless Son of God, the final high priest. There'll never need to be any more, because He didn't need salvation Himself. He Himself was the Savior.
Amen. And you know, Alex, as we read through this, we have to remember that we aren't called by ourselves to be priests or to be servants of the Lord in this present day, but we're called by God. And so when we do ministry for God, we have to make sure that we don't draw the glory to ourselves, but rather that we turn around and give it back to God. And I love Hebrews. It really is one of my favorite books. So I'm
same here.
Thrilled to be in this week for Bert as he is away at the Fishbowl Retreat. And we'll tell you a little bit more about that later on. But it says that he can deal gently, talking about the high priest, that he can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself is also beset with weakness. And then that he offers, you know, he has to offer a sacrifice for his sin before he can offer a sacrifice for our sin. In Christ, that was not the case.
Right.
Christ was the Lamb. Christ was the sacrifice. Not, and as we remember, you know, back in the book of John the Baptist is saying, you know, behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And it's not talking about the sins we commit every day, but it's actually talking about our sin nature, that Christ took that upon himself and was the sacrifice, and no other sacrifice is needed again.
That's right. That's right. You know, when at church you take communion or the Lord's table, and the preacher will serve, you know, the deacons or elders, and the elders serve the people, then generally, and this is how I do it when I lead in communion, you know, I'll sit down and one of the elders will serve me. And, you know, the bread represents the body of Christ nailed to the cross for us. The wine or juice represents the blood of Jesus shed to wash our sins away. And we have to take communion because we ourselves are, you know, representing the fact that Christ died. And remember, the Lord said, do this in remembrance of me till I come. But Jesus, if you were in a church service where Christ was your local pastor, he wouldn't need to take the elements, would he?
No, but and the key factor in that, Alex, of what you just said, is do this in remembrance of me.
Amen.
Because again, he was the sacrifice. That's communion is one of the things that we need to do, but our salvation is not dependent upon that communion.
That's
it's
true.
Dependent upon whom we remember in that time, because it's a remembrance of the bread and body of Christ, that was the body that was broken and the blood that was shed, that we do have the hope of salvation through him.
Amen. Amen. You know, just like, you know, putting on a ring isn't what gets you married. You wear that ring as a symbol that you are married.
Right.
And we do the Lord's Supper to show that we are believers and part of the body of Christ. But you're right. Taking those elements isn't what saves you. It was coming into a relationship with Christ. Now, it's very interesting. In 5 and 6, it says, in the same way, Christ did not take on himself the glory of becoming a high priest. But God said to him, and this is a quote of, I think it's Psalm 27, actually, today you are my son, today I've become your father. And he says in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Okay, let's follow what's going on here. Jesus didn't become deity.
Right.
Eternally, he is.
Right.
Present tense verb is deity.
And you're right. And Alex, that cross reference you were thinking of is Psalm 2:7. And it says, I will surely tell of the decree of the Lord. He said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Folks, this is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Bert Harper, and pleased to be on with Alex McFarland today. Stick around. We've got more of Hebrews, the 5th chapter, coming your way next on American Family Radio.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian health care sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable health care for Christians. Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your health care. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical health care. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
A father's attitude about finances can make the difference between running a family successfully and running it into the ground. Dr. Tony Evans explains why as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
There is no greater problem facing families and individuals today than the problem of debt. Someone has said that there are three categories of people: the haves, the have-nots, and the have not paid for what they have. To be weighted down in debt is a sign of lack of spirituality. And you can camouflage it any way you want to, but God told his people in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and verse 12 that if you would do things my way, a lender and not a borrower you shall be. Ignorance can breed debt. Indulgence, impulse spending, and when there is no plan, there is a plan to fail. Psalm 37:21 says, it is the unrighteous who borrow and do not repay. It is ungodly to have bills for which you do not take responsibility. And that not only means that it is paid, it also means that it is paid timely. But whether you decide to believe God or not will determine whether debt runs you or you run debt.
Learn more about how a godly man can change his wife, his family, his church, even his world. Request a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man, for yourself, your brother, uncle, husband, father, teenage son, or your church study group. Visit us at TonyEvans.org and click on the link that says Making Kingdom Men. That's TonyEvans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Hey, it's Crane. Coming up on Nothing But Truth, we have highlights of the weekend shows, including the campaigns responding to the New York Times story on Trump's taxes and to Hillary's comments about Sanders supporters. Also, Jessica Vaughn from the Center for Immigration Studies brings us the latest news about our border. Plus, Andrew C. McCarthy explains the connection between President Obama and the email scandal. So join us this afternoon at 5 Central for Nothing But Truth on AFR Talk.
Now back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert. You're listening to Exploring the Word on AFR Talk. AFR Talk. AFR Talk.
Let the power of your words dwell in richly, changing the ways that I see.
Well, welcome back. I'm Jim in for Bert, just in case there is any confusion out there. I love Bert Harper, but I am not Bert Harper, but I am in with Alex, so We're good there. Folks, I want to mention to you just real briefly that you heard 2 minutes with Tony during that break. Most of you did. And talking about Dr. Tony Evans. And tonight at 11 o'clock, we are pleased to announce that Dr. Tony Evans and the Urban Alternative will be on the air on American Family Radio again at 11 p.m. Central Time on most of these AFR stations. And we're very happy that Dr. Evans is back with us. He's been away for several years, and so it's just good to reconnect like that. And I think it'll be, folks, if I really do mean this, if you're up and you're going during that time, or if you're going to be out traveling, if you're in a truck and you're going to be driving, let me encourage you to listen to Dr. Tony Evans, because that brother can bring the word. You know Tony.
Yes, it's been my privilege to meet him many times and get to know him through mutual friends. And he is one of the most powerful preachers I've ever heard in my life. Mm. Every time I listen to him, I learn something, I'm inspired. And so I'm thrilled he's going to be on. And Jim, again, when is his time slot?
It will be 11 p.m. Central Time on most of these AFR stations. Pardon me, 11:30 Central Time. 11:30 I apologize. Central. Yes, 11:30 Central.
Well, you know, we're in Hebrews chapter 5, and by the way, I do want to give the number, because we're going to get to your Bible questions, folks, 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, toll-free nationwide. We'll take your Bible questions in just a brief moment. But really, Hebrews chapter 5 is talking about the fact that Jesus is this high priest, the Son of God, who not only could pay for our sins, but on the cross did pay for our sins. And it says in verse 9, being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all who obey him. Jesus is the author, the finisher, the completer of our faith, the Savior. And again, we could go into some theological depth here, but it's basically saying in Hebrews 5 that, you know, no man that became a legitimate priest of God did it of his own choice, verse 4, but the priest became priest when they were called by God. And in the same way, I believe people today go into the ministry legitimately when there's a call of God on their life. It says in Ephesians 4, 11, and 12 that to the church God gave pastors, teachers, and evangelists for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you don't call yourself into the ministry. God right. calls you. But Christ did not take on himself deity. He didn't choose to be the Son of God. He eternally is the Son of God.
Right.
And for that reason, he could be the one who paid the sin debt for all of humanity, and he could be your Savior, your forgiver, and Lord. Right now, today, my friend, the Bible says Jesus is the friend who sticks closer than a brother, and he's as close by to you as a prayer.
Amen. And you know, we look at Christ as being the second Adam, and he being the one that was able to live without sin, whereas the first Adam stumbled. And in Hebrews 2:17, and I know you guys covered this, it reminds us that therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. Now, Alex, propitiation is one of those big fancy Christian words that we throw around sometimes without really understanding what it is. Explain to us why Christ was the propitiation and why that was so important.
Oh, Jim, that's an interesting word. Well, literally, it means the turning away of wrath. And it means to deflect something. Like, imagine, you've seen on TV a ball game, you know, a ball is about to hit somebody and somebody is able to block it and the person is not injured, they deflected it. Well, the wrath of God, the punishment for sin, was headed our way and we deserved it. But as the propitiation of sin, the turning away of wrath, Jesus stood in our place, and all the punishment that really we deserved was poured on him. Mm. Isn't that something?
Amen.
And, you know, I've told this story, Jim. I don't know if I shared it with you, but I got a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt. This was about 2 years ago. In fact, I was near the Cove. I was on I-40 outside of Asheville, got pulled over, got a ticket for not wearing a seatbelt, which is the law. And I promised the policeman that I would wear the seatbelt from now on. And he said, okay, here you go. And the ticket was $162.50. And I felt really bad because I thought, man, I've wasted that money. But anyway, I called and there was a thing you could pay with a credit card or you could go to court. Well, I knew I was guilty because I didn't have my seatbelt on. So seriously, this really, really happened. So I called this number to the place where the ticket was, whatever county I happened to be in. And the lady's typing in this long number. And I heard her on the phone. She kind of said, huh? And I said, what? She said, somebody has paid your ticket. And I said, did they drop it? Or she said, oh, no, we didn't drop it. We don't, you know, the law is the law. We don't drop anything. And I said, ma'am, I'm sorry. I've got my credit card here. She said, look, you can pay for this or you can accept that somebody else paid for you. Do you accept? And I said, yes. And I thought, that's like the gospel. My dear friend, listen to this. You could pay for your own sins, but that would mean separation from God, what the Bible calls hell. Or you can accept that the sinless, perfect Son of God paid for those sins. All of the punishment that we deserved, that I deserved, that you deserve, it fell onto Jesus. And if you'll simply say in your heart, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner. I believe that Jesus paid it for me, and I'm accepting who he is and what he did, and I'm asking you to forgive me. Jim, isn't it a blessing that the punishment, the just wrath that we deserved, Christ said to the Father, you know, punish me. I'll do that for them.
Yeah. In small groups, we're studying in the book of John, and one of the things that we're taught, one of the places we're at right now, you know, we all know that the Lord's Prayer is Our Father which art in heaven. But, you know, I am one of those guys that's kind of ticky, and Alex, I know that you know that about me. But in essence, that was really the disciples' prayer. The Lord's Prayer came over in John when Jesus was talking to the Father and interceding for us there. And as he prayed, he was reminding God that we are his, you know, and that that's we right. we are to be the abiding in the vine, which he is, and we are simply the branches of that vine. But we are to do good fruit. You know, we're to bring good fruit. And the only way we can do that is by abiding in him. But it was the price that he paid that he reminded Christ that we were no longer our own, but that we were his.
Amen. That is so beautiful. And, you know, you mentioned the two Adams. I've often thought about that, you know, 1 Corinthians says that the first Adam, through him came death, and death passed on to all men. But the second Adam became a life-giving Savior. All right, the first Adam, judgment came because of him. The second Adam, Jesus, judgment fell on him.
Amen.
And in the first Adam, paradise was sequestered away. In the second Adam, paradise is restored. Amen. So we hope you're in Jesus. We hope you're in that second Adam. And Hebrews 5 is telling about that. It says there that during Jesus' life on earth, verse 7, he offered up prayers and petition with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverent submission. Mm-hmm. Son though he was, he learned obedience from what he suffered,
right.
And once made perfect, became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. All right, in the Garden of Eden, he prayed, and he said, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass, but nevertheless, thy will be done. Let's talk, and I know this is really deep, Jim. In Jesus were two natures. There was perfect deity and perfect humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll often say Jesus was fully human, but not fallen human. In the Garden of Eden, before the cross, as he was on his way to suffer unimaginable pain, when he was crying out to the Father, in the human sense, there was true fear, and there was great apprehension, wasn't there?
Absolutely. And Alex, as you're sharing that,
Garden of Gethsemane, I should have said.
Right. No, I knew where you meant. And as you're saying that, I think back to the angel appearing to Mary, and in the Garden of Eden, we're told that they created man in their own image, being the Trinity. And then God breathed life into Adam. And then we're told in the New Testament, when Mary was conceived, she was not conceived by man, which is what you were talking about, that you know, that he was not born of man in essence, but he was born of God. But how did the angel tell Mary she would become pregnant with Christ, that the Holy Ghost would come upon her, literally, the breath of God,
yes,
breathing new life into Mary, into her womb, so that we would have the hope of life everlasting? And like you say, Alex, man, we can drill down on that, and we will keep drilling until we get to bedrock. And we don't want to. We, folks, please understand, we're very excited about this passage because it reminds us that it's not on us, that it's not on anyone else, but that it was on Jesus. Let me give you the number real quick. It's 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Our call screener is putting a couple of calls on, so if it rings a little bit, think nothing of it, and she'll get to you as soon as she can. So go 888-589-8840. 8840, if you would, if you have questions about what we've covered so far today. And Alex, if you don't mind, I would like us to stop at verse 10 today.
Okay.
And the reason for that is because those last few verses, and we can carry on into chapter 6 tomorrow, but I think those last few verses there in chapter 5 are worth spending a little more time on than what we'd have for them this afternoon. And you stopped at verse 10, where it says, "He became to all those who obey him the source of eternal salvation." And then verse 10 says, "Being designated by God as a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek." Mm-hmm. Melchizedek, pardon me. And so, Alex, as we look at that, again, it's not on our own. It's not us. But it was Christ was designated by God. And I like what you said is that he was fully God and fully human at the same time, you know, perfect humanity.
That's
and,
right.
And we're reminded of where Paul says over in Philippians that he set aside his glory so that he would understand what that humanity was. And this is what chapter 5 in the book of Hebrews is talking about.
And you know, regarding the Philippians 2 passage where it says he emptied himself, it doesn't mean he set aside his deity or his godhood.
Right, right.
Now, he voluntarily limited some of his power, you know, because he said, "I thirst." And, you know, it says that he was hungry and he felt pain. I mean, think about it. The God of all creation who made all the matter and the elements and the food and the water, for him to experience hunger and thirst. How could God lack for anything? Well, only in the perfect humanity where he, you know, he like Hebrews 4:15 says, he was touched with all the pain like we, yet without sin. Hey, let me say one thing about the fact you mentioned that you know, God created Adam out of the dirt of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, the Spirit. Yesterday, people around the nation stood in the life chains, and I hope everyone listening did, and I hope that you, like we passionately believe in the sanctity of human life, that life is sacred in all contexts, because life is a gift from God. One of the things that really makes life one of our core convictions, friends, we are unapologetically pro-life, is this, that, you know, God created all the animals and he spoke them into existence. You read the creation days, God spoke and called the animals into existence. Only humanity did God take this personal, intimate touch and breathed into Adam and Eve the pneuma, the spirit. Man is not a highly sophisticated animal. Man was made in the image of God, and therefore human life is sacred, isn't it, Jim?
Amen. That's a great point, Alex. And you know, I'd not thought about that before, but you're absolutely right that he took and he literally breathed life into Adam. And the other animals he simply created. And I think one of the reasons that God did that the way he did is because he saw that Adam was going to fall, but he was looking toward the time when we would be the residence of his Son through the presence of his Holy Spirit in our lives.
Oh,
and I
goodness.
Think he was making us receptacles for that, because after all, we are created for his glory.
You know, talk about profound. I mean, it just really... you know, I love that song. It says, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, would die for me?" It's a lot to take in, but I'm going to summarize it, people. God loves you and wants a relationship with you. Isn't that just profound?
That is amazing. And it really was amazing love. It's something we take for granted and that we want to just say all the time, "Well, yeah, he loves me. It's no big deal." Folks, it is a big deal. And we'll share more of that with you as Exploring the Word continues here on American Family Radio.
American Family Radio is for the church.
God saved my life. I was in an abusive relationship, and I had been beaten unimaginably. And I escaped only because God helped me escape. It was incredible pain, both emotionally and physically, that I every day thank God that He's making me stronger every single day to get through that. And the way that he does that is by the fact that I go to church, I have a wonderful church, and then also listening to AFR. And I just wanted to tell you guys that because you're doing an amazing job, and I hope that God blesses this station to stay on the air for many, many, many years to come so that other people can be blessed the same way that I have been over the past 5 years.
Join us for our three-day share-a-thon beginning October 18th. Listener-supported American Family Radio.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to take a stand and pray and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith at home, in public, and at the ballot box. And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
What are alumni saying about Wesley Biblical Seminary? Here's WBS Professor for Formation and Instruction, Rebecca Luman.
I suppose I'd been quite a bit of a lone ranger in my Christian faith, and I saw that it really was something we do together. My vision of what God wanted to do in the world just exploded.
I'm John Nyhoff, president of Wesley Biblical Seminary. Come and be a part of our community.
Apply today at wbs.edu. Wesley Biblical Seminary. Discover the difference.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted health care option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
Now, back to the Bible study with Alex and Bert.
He became sin, who knew no sin, that we might become His righteousness.
You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'll give that number. It's 888-589-8840. We go now to your Bible questions. Alex McFarland, Jim Stanley on Exploring the Word.
Hi, Helen. Welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hello. I've called before, and I really appreciate your program. I'm having a hard time sometimes gambling, and I know this has nothing to do with probably the scriptures that you're talking about. Maybe it does, but it seems like I miss a month and I'd go another month, but I try not to claim that. I've renounced and ask the Lord to forgive me. And I don't really desire it. It just comes and goes and spurts. And I really need somebody to help me. I don't want to do this anymore. It's hurting me. Well, and I know better.
Helen, where are you calling from?
Arkansas.
Okay, let me encourage you to do this. If you don't mind, I'm going to let the call screener get your information, and I'll call you back after the show with a number that where you might be able to find some help. American Association of Christian Counselors is one that they have some folks, and I'm sure they have someone in Arkansas. We can encourage you with scripture, but I think if you're working with an addiction, then you probably need more than we could give you on this show. And I say that in sincerity and in honesty, because we don't want to simply put a Band-Aid on it. We would rather you see you be delivered from that through the power of Christ, and that's what these Christian counselors work with. So would you mind if I put you on hold and let Cedra get your information?
Sure.
All right, I'm going to put you on hold. Thanks for calling, Helen, and we'll We'll talk to you just after the show.
Jim, you know that is a problem, and problem gambling is even increasing among young people.
Yeah.
And, you know, I wrote an article for Focus on the Family a couple of years ago, and I was doing some research on this. And I know this probably sounds kind of crazy, but I mean, you're like more likely to get struck by lightning twice in your life than to win a lottery. The odds are just exponentially against it. But I think the main thing for a Christian would be, for me, this is where I land on it, and it's a stewardship issue. That,
right.
You know, really, the money we make or the money we have, if you're a believer, it's not really ours. It's the Lord's, isn't it?
It is. And, you know, it really is a tough thing to do. You know, we think of alcoholism being an addiction. We think of other things being an addiction. But gambling is one of those things because it goes back to the chemical release in the brain.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that you battle. You know, it's not something you want to do. It's not necessarily how you want to live your life, but you feel trapped. And then you get to the point where you're behind in rent. So how are you going to make that up? Well, I'm going to go back and I'm going to win it all back. And folks, that's just not the way to do it. And please understand, as a believer, we still struggle with the old man, as Paul talked about. But it's one of those things that I think if we can point someone to some good help, to some good counsel, then that's part of what we do. And so that was not a brush off for Helen. We've got her information, and I really will call her after the show. Let's talk to Jeffrey now from South Carolina. Jeffrey, welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hi, thank you for having me. I don't really have a Bible question right now. I just wanted to thank you guys for what you do. Mr. McFarland, I have heard you on the radio a lot. I listen to the station a lot. And I just have to say, you break down the word better than anyone else that I know. That really helps me be able to understand Scripture. And when I say better than anyone else I know, I don't mean to put anybody else down either, but you do a really good job, and I just wanted to thank you personally, Mr. McFarland.
Well, God bless you, brother. Listen, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. But thank you. It means the world to me that you'd be listening. And hey, Bert and I and Jim and all of us, we love the Bible and we love the Lord, and we just love the fact that you folks like you were listening.
Hey, Jeffrey, thanks for calling. We appreciate it, and thank you for those kind words. Going to talk to Timothy now. Timothy calling in from Texas. Timothy, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I thank you so much for your wonderful work you're doing there. But, you know, the thing about it is, in St. John, the Gospel of St. John, he mentions, just before Jesus is taken to be crucified, he mentions that he is giving them his body and his blood. He gives them the bread that he transfers into his own body, and he gives them the wine, which he transfers into his blood. He gives that to his 12 apostles, and then he says to them, do this in commemoration of me. Do this in honor of me. He gives them the power. And the church, the Catholic Church, has always had, from the very time that Jesus died, the Eucharist, the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, and you came close to it there a little while ago. I thought, oh, you're really, this was very, very good. Your explanation of things was excellent. But to leave the Blessed Sacrament out, now you talked about it indirectly, but not the real presence. That's
well,
the first time I've heard that they brought in the idea of the Eucharist.
Well, Timothy, let me first say thank you for calling. We appreciate your mm-hmm. call. And I'm going to let you listen on the radio if you don't mind, because I don't want to get into a debate, because we want to talk about the things that unite us, not the things that separate us. And I don't disagree with what you're saying, because Christ did transform the blood and the wine, as you talk about. But when he told us to do this in remembrance of him or in commemoration of him, for the Protestant church, we don't believe that our salvation is dependent upon that. We believe that we are simply showing thanksgiving for what he did, as Hebrews even talks about. We believe that we are showing reverence and respect to his blood, and that we're showing reverence and respect to the sacrifice that he made. But it was the actual sacrifice of Christ on the cross that paid the price for our sins, not that supper that he gave as a representative of things to come. And that's what it was in that time and place. And Alex, I don't mean to speak for you, but I think that you would agree with this, is that what took place among the disciples was so that they would have a lesson to teach us that we might take with us throughout the future.
I agree. I got a little thought here that I think is going to be an encouragement to a lot of people. I'm sure in church, when you talk about grace, you've heard the word charis. A lot of churches, you know, C-H-A-R-I-S, Charis Bible Church, because the Greek word for grace is charis. Well, think about it. Within the word Eucharist is the word grace, Eucharis. And literally what the word Eucharist means, which is, you know, what people, sometimes people refer to the elements, the bread and the juice, as the Eucharist. Literally, that word means thanks for grace. It means well grace, or to be thankful, thanksgiving for the grace. So we won't take the show to discuss different theological positions on the Lord's table, but let me say, I think all of us would agree, the fact that he gave his body and blood to wash our sins away, we can all be thankful for that grace, and that's literally what the word Eucharist means.
Amen. 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. And Mike, we're going to take your call, and I would, just as I reminded our last caller, I want to hear where your question's coming from, but it's one of those things that there are different theologies that teach different things, and so we won't get into the breadth and depth of that. But Mike from Texas, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks, Jim and Alex. I appreciate it. Guys, I just got into a discussion last night and wanted to seek some counsel on it, but we got a discussion of if a person can lose his salvation.
Well, and you know, Mike, I can tell you, I have been on both sides of that issue. I believe, you know, I was an officer with the Salvation Army, and one of their doctrines say that we believe that continuance in the state of salvation is dependent upon continued obedient faith in Christ, and that's one of their tenets. And then I can tell you that, you know, others in the Protestant community say absolutely not, that you cannot. But I have come to this conclusion, is that if we are truly saved, then no one can pluck us from the hand of God. However, my brother Alex is a much better theologian than I am, and he is an evangelist, and he, I am sure, holds to the same standard. But Alex, answer that for us, if you would. And is this one of the ones that you have at your website as one of your FAQs?
It is. It is. And folks, let me say, this is one of those issues, eternal security of the believer. Let me say, equally good, godly, well-intentioned Christians throughout history have disagreed on this. Now, I do. I'll be on record, happily. I do believe in the eternal security of the believer. But, I mean, you've got different people. Some say yes, some say no. What we all agree on is that Christ, the Son of God, shed his blood to wash our sins away.
Amen.
And through Jesus only, we're saved. I do want to recommend a book, Charles Stanley. Certainly, everybody loves Charles Stanley. He wrote a book called Eternal Security, Can You Be Sure? And the interesting thing, Jim, he started out to write a book defending the position that you could lose your salvation.
Right.
And he ended up writing a book where he defends that you are eternally secure in Christ. And that book, 20 years ago at least, was something very helpful to me. So, you know, I think that, you know, John 10:28-29, that says nothing can pluck us out of his hand, but he says, I give to them eternal life, and they will never perish. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my position is that if you are truly born again, you might stumble, you might sin, but you don't lose your salvation because you're in Christ. But I would highly recommend Charles Stanley's book on that.
All right, Mike, thanks for calling. Have a great afternoon, and thanks for listening to Exploring the Word. You know, Alex, for me, the turning point came to a realization that I could never save myself. And if I couldn't trust God to get me through this life, how can I depend upon Him for my eternal salvation? And then I came to the loving understanding of a graceful God who said, it's not on you. I sent my Son that you didn't have to do this. And because of my Son, you have the hope of life eternal through Him. And that, as I dug deeper into scriptures, and this has been the walk of a lifetime. Let me just be clear about that. As I continued to dig through the scriptures, as we're called to do, it became more and more clear to me that it really was not dependent upon me, but that it was because of the sacrifice of Christ, even as we've shared in Hebrews 5 today, and as we will really get into tomorrow as we cover those last few verses.
Yeah, I started to say, as we get into Hebrews chapter 6, boy, that is the chapter, isn't it?
Amen. Well, let's see if we can get Mike in from Ohio. And Mike, go ahead and welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Hey, thank you very much. Thank you guys for all you do. I called in about 6 months ago and talked to Bert and Alex, and Alex gave me some really good advice. I asked him about marriage, and he's all for
big
it.
Big thumbs up there.
He told me there was no way around it. So we went ahead and got married, and everything's going great. And I started reading my Bible, and I started in Genesis, and it's kind of a hard read for a guy that hadn't spent a lot of time reading the Bible over his life. But Exodus, when Moses come down, with the Ten Commandments, I didn't realize it was so strong when God said, that those that don't remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. There's only like two things I read there that back then they put you to death for, and one of them was killing another man on purpose, and one of them was not keeping the Sabbath holy. Tell me, guys, I've been a workaholic my whole life. I'm 50-some years old, and I work 7 days a week. We're going to church now, but I'm so geared up to work. Is it that big a deal to God that you don't work on Sunday? Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks for the call, Mike, and we'll let you listen. Alex, I know that's going to be kind of hard to completely answer that, but go ahead, if you would, and give them a brief synopsis, and then I want to encourage folks to do something.
Well, God bless you, and thank you for listening to the show. Congratulations on your marriage and building a Christian home. Brother, you are on the right path, and we give God the glory for that. Hebrews chapter 4 is very clear that, in Jesus, as a born-again believer, in Christ, we have entered into the Sabbath rest. That's why that when Jesus paid our sin on the cross, He fulfilled all of the mandates and all of the dictates of God's law, including the keeping of the Sabbath. And the Sabbath was a picture of ultimately our time with the Lord in heaven, that we'll be in this eternal state of rest. Now, Christians, we don't, as part of our salvation, we don't have to keep a Sabbath. However, I do think it is wise to take a day that we, one day out of seven, we give to the worship of the Lord, the going to the church, being a part of a local church. I think that, Hebrews 10:25 says, do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, Colossians 2:16-17 says, don't judge anyone by what Sabbath day they keep or what religious festival. Understand, going to church is the right thing to do for a disciple, but that's not part of what makes you saved.
That's absolutely right, and Alex, thanks for that. Alex, I'm looking at alexmcfarland.com, and at one point you had some FAQs up there. Is that still available?
It is. Do you know what? Funny, just before the show, we were on the phone with the web guy. We're about to put those back up with a blog site and all the 80-some FAQs. So give me about 2 days, and all that is going to be back up.
And folks, let me encourage you, if you ever want a great speaker, if you want a great evangelist, if you want someone that will rightly divide the word of truth, invite Alex McFarland to your church or Bert Harper. This has been Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. By the way, you can reach Alex at alexmcfarland.com. We'll be back here tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.